PRMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
From fashion and apparel to wines of the world, that's the jump we're making for today's personal connection as Jackie Strum, the president and publisher of Wine Enthusiast, is ready to go on the show hotline. Before we get to her, we're sponsored by TravelGuard.com/carry. You know, packing a Travel Guard travel insurance plan, it safeguards you against many unknowns that create issues, including work-related cancellations, medical expenses and evacuation, passport or ticket replacement, trip cancellations, interruptions and delays, lost or delayed baggage. You get translation services, prescription replacement, roadside assistance. You'll have somebody available to you 24/7 and a lot more. So whether your next adventure is a long or short getaway, international or domestic, because sudden changes, unknown situations, and world happenings could compromise your plans, just do what we do. Be smart. Get protected before you travel at TravelGuard.com/carry or find a direct link at RMWorldTravel.com. Look under sponsors. All right. And now, well, let's talk wine, folks. Jackie, welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, nice to have you aboard this morning. Today, listen, I'm flying solo. Mary's out in Las Vegas. We've got RJ down in Miami. And I can certainly identify with your family being so important in the creation and success of Wine Enthusiast. I created our parent company back in February 1999 when I left Disney ABC. It truly has been, you know, some run over the 27 years or so. But I want to begin, Jackie, at the start of the family legacy of Wine Enthusiast. It goes back to a small mail order catalog in 1979, a tiny apartment, and a dream that you and your sister carry on today. So share your parents' concept and what they saw missing in the wine market. They certainly had great instincts.
Sure. Yes. Thank you for asking. So my parents in the 70s, my dad was working in wine sales, which was very different then and it is today. And my mom was actually in TV commercials at the time. And while my dad was selling wine door to door, he noticed this gap in the market of people having access to the tools to enjoy wine at home. And so in 1979, they, in their attic of their house, decided to start selling those exact tools, corkscrews, glassware, racking, and just tested it with a little pamphlet. And now today, they are still selling all of those tools. And then about 10 years later, 1988, they said, we have these wine consumers who love wine. Let's start writing about it. And so that's when actually the media division, Wine Enthusiast Magazine, was founded. So those are the two still thriving sides of our business.
Well, it's an American dream story. I love it. I really do. You know, we've talked on this show, and you think about wine and the evolution and so forth, but we have talked about how wine and other spirits are going through a bit of a challenging time. I've seen reports suggesting that nearly half of U.S. adults say that they're actively drinking less. Non-alcoholic options are growing in popularity. But where I want to go with this is, in the vast media world that we live in, where everyone is consuming media from so many different platforms today, you know, what are some of the ways that you're working to remain relevant and continue to attract the next generation of wine enthusiasts?
Sure. So, well, first off, about the consumption trends, what's interesting about it for us specifically is that people are drinking less, but they're drinking better quality.
I agree with that.
And quality wine is synonymous with what we do at Wine Enthusiast. So it's actually been working a bit for us in a way. So what we've been doing at Wine Enthusiast, especially on the media division, is we really have figured out every channel to meet different users. So our print publication is still doing quite well, and I would say that's for kind of the wine expert or the trade. Our website is really where we meet most people. So that could be an expert or collector or someone who's Googling a question like, how do I hold a wine glass? Which when we wrote that article was our best article of the year. So it just shows that having authority and education is still just as valuable as even the expertise for a collector. And then beyond that, social media is extremely powerful for us. Instagram is probably our biggest channel at just under 1 million followers. We do podcasts and a new travel division.
Well, I want to talk about that. Yeah. A year ago. That's one of the things that attracted us, and I want to spend some time talking about that. Cork and Compass Travel, folks, that's the name. I think our listeners will find it interesting. You may find this interesting. You know, last month, Mary and I had a delicious dinner with Greg Miller. He heads up business development with Opus One Winery, and he shared with us, you know, some of the new creative things that they're doing. I like what you're also doing here, Jackie, via Cork and Compass Travel. So, you know, what can you share about this aspect of the company and how it's evolved, what's being done in some areas of the world that you're showcasing for travelers?
Sure. So Wine Enthusiast is more than a, when people think about us, sometimes they think about the magazine, but we're really a brand of experts And that expertise is our critic. So most people know us for the scores that you would see in a wine shop.
Right.
And those scores are built by a panel of 22 wine critics. And from those 22 critics who all score blind, have really incredible access and knowledge. And I can tell you from working with them for years, if I go to a region, I ask one of them immediately, where am I going? And we wanted to figure out a way to kind of scale that access and give it to readers who are thirsty for adventure and for wine experiences. And so that's where the concept for Cork and Compass Travel came, using our actual wine critics. So, for example, Ana Cristina Cabrales, who's our tasting director, mm-hmm. also critiques all the wines from Burgundy. So you better believe she knows where to go if you're going to Burgundy.
You've got the expert right there, no question about it. So you're right, from her own experience. I love that. She's one, but you have others, correct?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So last year we tested this with just two trips. The first one was actually to Tuscany with our Tuscany critic, Danielle Caligari, and Burgundy, and they both sold out. So this year we're doubling it, and we're adding Bordeaux as another destination. And each one is with one of our wine critics that tastes and scores up to 2,000 wines a year for a total of 25,000 wines scored every single year.
All right. I need to get you to the Piedmont area because I'm a big Barolo drinker. And so that's the Piedmont area of Italy. I know that.
Yeah, that's one we've been thinking about for 2027, actually, because it is so incredible, the food, the wine, the scenery. So these critics actually build out the itinerary. They work with our experts to do the hospitality. So you're getting essentially access that nobody else has, whether it's to wineries that don't typically open their doors or to experiences like private candlelit dinners in their cellars that are just family members. It's just a really unique experience that I don't think anybody else could really do at the
Well, I think it's a fabulous, it attracted Mary and me when we heard about this because, you know, again, folks, Cork and Compass Travel with Wine Enthusiasts, because it is some, you're going with experts. I mean, if you are a wine enthusiast, you love a wine, you want to travel, and we know people travel for wine, right? That, no question. People love these experiences. But to go with the people that are, you know, that are the experts, that have that inside access, that have the relationships, I think that's pretty special. I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Yeah. And wine really is all about a sense of place, right? Like the term terroir is so famous for wine, but right. It's not soda. Where it's made is so valuable and really gives you a perspective on the product. So that experience is a huge part of wine and loving wine.
I'm thinking about this right now. So back in May 2024, we had this show down in Virginia for one of our big Let's Go America tours. It was Hot Springs. We based ourselves at America's oldest hotel. That was the Homestead Resort. And I'm bringing it up because, you know, we spent a lot of time with their head sommelier, Quinn Cohen was her name, and experienced mm-hmm. some outstanding wines grown across Virginia, including a Nebbiolo that I loved. I think it was Bro Vineyard in Percival, if memory serves me correct. They had a really strong characteristics to Barolo, which I just said is one of my mm-hmm. favorites. But, you know, what are some of the other regions in the U.S. that you urge folks to go experience for wine beyond the obvious of Napa or Santa Barbara, maybe Oregon? Sure. What would you say?
Well, Virginia is up there, but I actually really encourage, maybe I'm a little biased because I live in New York, but the Finger Lakes actually won our American Wine Region of the Year award this year. And it's just an incredible place to visit. And it's a little tough to get to, but that actually is what preserves a lot of the charm. The Rieslings, if you're a Riesling fan, as I am, are amazing. And one of my new favorite wine regions is North Carolina, which we've been covering quite a bit. North Carolina, Virginia, and Pennsylvania are a couple up-and-coming wine regions.
They've grown very nicely, no question. It's amazing to me, you know, as you do travel. One of the things we always love to do is to check out some of the local wineries. But it amazes me now, places where wine is being grown that you just wouldn't think of.
It's grown in all 50 states, actually.
It is. It absolutely is. So you're pleased to go back to Cork and Compass at this point, travel. It's growing. It's a nice addition to the company. You're happy with it?
Oh, yeah. It's been incredible, especially because, although I didn't mention any domestic regions, I think it's because people don't know where to start in Europe. It's a little bit more challenging to navigate. So being able to give people that guidance has been really valuable. And it's just such a pleasure to see people enjoy things in person.
Well, a bottle of wine brings a little happiness to everybody out there, and that's a good thing, certainly.
Absolutely.
Continue to be. So, and I agree with you, by the way, what we said earlier. People may be drinking less, but it's the quality, no question. So, Jack, you do need to wrap things for today. I'm going to share the website, wineenthusiast.com. Folks, will get you all the information. And then just corkandcompasstravel.com. Spell out and, corkandcompasstravel.com. We'll get you information on that. Cheers to you, Jackie. Nice connecting with you.
Cheers to you.
All right, well, there goes Jackie. I just heard the line drop, folks. And right now, we need to get ready to pause for some sponsor messages. One more segment down for the day, so we've got three more coming your way. And right now, as we do pause for this break, our local stations will update you during the bottom of the hour break. The Right Stuff is next. While I'm going to go get ready for the museum gallery that's also ahead this hour, very different museum gallery coming your way, folks. Make sure you stick around for that. Thanks for being part of the program today.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.